For all of our bonus episodes and premium content, become a member over at patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. That's patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. You can also find us on social media. On Twitter, we're at whatcrappens. On Instagram and Facebook, at watchwhatcrappens. We'll see you there. Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors, Christy Wowardy Dowardy,
Kelly Barlow, when she goes Barlow, we go high-low,
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg,
just saying, okay,
Shannon out of a cannon Anthony,
and our super premium Patreon subscribers, Kelly Grant, the Grandmaster.
Give them hell, Miss Noel.
And Lizzie Drucker, a fun motherfucker.
We love you guys.
Hello, and welcome to the Watch What Crappens podcast, the podcast about all that crap. We just love to talk about it on ye old bravs. I'm Ronnie Karam from the Rose Pricks Bachelor podcast, which will be back next week. And here I am with the gorgeous, talented, thin, and good-hearted, just kidding, Ben Mandelker, yeah. The B-Side Blog and the Banter Blender. Hello, Ben.
Oh, hi. How are you?
Well, I hooked up this new computer monitor. It's bigger than a house, and now I feel like I'm living inside of a Mac. It's weird. Wow. I'm not sure if I like it. It's hurting my face.
A Mac computer or a Mac, like, Mac makeup store?
A person named Mac.
A Big Mac. You just are, like, in between three slices of bread, actually.
Yes, I'm Thousand Island dressing.
That sounds like a delicious home.
Here we are on a Monday for Real Housewives of Potomac. But thanks to Shill, go over. Today is the last day of free shipping for our Give Them Benron shirts. Yeah. We also got a lot of fun Watch What Crappens shirts. Different colors, different styles, different textures. So go to watchwhatcrappens.com for those links. Or just Crappens merch, whatever's easiest for you. Also, we are doing live shows. We're going to be in Phoenix in June, and then we're going to be doing Real Housewives of New York there. Then, on Gay Pride weekend, we'll be in San Francisco having some Gay Pride at our Southern Charm Gay Pride show.
Yeah. And, well, people, you've been begging for more shows, and for many of you guys, you have been begging for us to finally come to your cities. We have listened, and we have acted upon it. Today, we have just announced our fall lineup of Watch What Crappens shows. Our fall tour is up, and it's real simple and real awesome. In September, we're going to Denver. In October, we're not doing one. We're doing two shows in New York for the first time because our New York shows always sell out like within an hour. So we're just doing two shows this time, which I'm super excited about. That's in October. In November, we have Seattle at long last. And in December, we have Nashville. So if you're in those cities, tickets for those shows are going to go on sale on Friday, except for Nashville. Nashville is on Thursday. All the other shows are on Friday. Be sure to be by your computers when those things go on sale, because I anticipate that they're going to go very quickly, because people from those cities have been really asking for us to come there. And also, by the way, I just also would like to shill our Facebook group, which is called Watch What Crappens Live and Loving It. And the reason why I'm shilling it is because we did not even have Nashville on our radar until we just put up a little, some people had said Nashville, so we put up a poll, and we had such a good response about going to Nashville that we added it. So if you want your voice heard, if you want us to come to your city, it's important to first join that group. And then whenever there's a poll, vote in the poll. And you can leave comments too, but what matters the most are the numbers on the poll. That helps us know if there's an audience in that city that we need to cater to. So thank you to everyone who voted for Nashville and for Seattle, because that gave us the confidence to go ahead and book venues there. And we are so excited to see you guys later this year.
That's the damn truth, man.
Yeah, it certainly is.
But today, guess what we're excited for? Boom, 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 boom,
Is that your Potomac?
That is my Potomac. That is my day after Mother's Day hangover Potomac theme.
Oh, wait. Before we get into Potomac, there's one other thing we have to show. We forgot. We have a new digital series called So Much That Crappens, and that's exclusively on the TV Party app. We teased it last week, and now it's officially up. So download that app and watch our show.
It was such a fun show. Go watch it. We've been waiting for that sucker to come out, and it's finally out.
It's finally out, and it's funny. It's just 20 minutes of us talking about the weekend review. So go watch that. Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt Potomies for that.
Well, guess what? You gave me an opportunity to do. Close my window.
Whoa, close the window, close the window.
Wow. Window. Oh, God, I can't even close it because it's
Melissa Etheridge over there is like, come to my window and close it for me.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow. Oh, man. I'm getting visions of you, like, slamming it on your finger and then it swells up like a cartoon.
Don't ever buy a new monitor. What the hell? I can't even close my window anymore. This is ruining my life.
Oh, is the monitor in the way of the window?
Yes, okay, hold on. I'm almost here, people. I'm almost here. Here I am, ready to be professional and ready with my new monitor.
We're like, come to our live shows and watch our shit, because we're the most professional podcast there is on the internet. Now, let's listen as Ronnie struggles to close a window.
Yeah, that's how we roll. Okay, but guess what I did do? Take notes, because I'm a professional.
In Australia, I'm an Australian professional.
Oh, yeah, Real Housewives of Oz restaurants.
I told my PA to type up my notes. That means personal assistant in Australia.
Or Papa. You'd never get your damn notes. You'd be like, I don't understand this one. God damn it.
Anyway, so Potomac, this episode starts off at Nemecola, or whatever it's called. Nemecolon, whatever. Nemecolon. It's some sort of ranch retreat in Pennsylvania. And the ladies are still there, and they're still fighting over lunch. And Candace is still barking at Giselle, telling her to shut up with her greens, shut up with her coat, etc.
Yes, Giselle is like, you're dumb. Because Giselle acts like a big monster. Well, she is a big monster. But her comebacks are, you're dumb, you know? And yeah. So Candy's like, you and your jeweled army jacket are dumb. And then that's what puts everybody over the edge. They're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. The people get offended at really odd things on this show. So it's like they've been calling each other stupid bitches for like 20 minutes. But you make fun of a jeweled army jacket. That is crossing the line, man.
Someone bedazzled that, okay? Someone had to sit there and do that. And you're going to make fun of that handiwork?
Yeah, how dare you disrespect our jeweled troops?
Yes, exactly. Someone had to choose between many different gemstones, okay? Yeah. Someone had to decide, do I want to put a fake ruby? Do I want to put a fake sapphire? Maybe some topaz? Maybe an emerald? All plastic, but what are we going to choose?
Is it going to be forest army camo or desert army camo? What's it going to be?
Did you notice that I started to turn into Ramona? It was like Ramona the prosecutor. let the jury know there are many different rhinestones, okay?
This is how I flirt with juries, okay? When empty
Do you
glass...
want to? You go on. Empty glass?
No one needs that. Okay, what? So yeah. Ashley, everybody's fighting, so Ashley stands up and is like, ding, ding, ding. Now let's not get worked up. We have to spend days together. By the way, I told everyone you had 4 martinis and that your husband's cheating on you. I was like, who are you trying to calm people down, Miss Ashley? Yeah.
Monique doesn't care. She's like, look at me. I'm playing the harp. It's like, you're stroking the staircase.
She means harp like she's trying to manipulate the weather. And I can do it because I'm not drunk. I'm just tired.
I'm just sleepy. Just sleepy.
Yeah, me too, honey. So Giselle. Okay, remember how... This is episode 7. Can you believe that, first of all?
Wow.
So many episodes.
Fast.
So the first couple of episodes, I'm like, who is this Giselle and why do I like her? And what's happening? I'm so uncomfortable. Never mind. Take it back. Like, she's just back being terrible about everything just to be terrible. She's walking around the living room going, where are the rooms? Upstairs. Where are we supposed to go to the rooms? upstairs. I'm like, you're mad at the room placement in a mansion. Like, listen to yourself.
You're mad that your hotel room actually has a staircase, like a second floor that the bedrooms are on. That's making you upset.
Yeah, she's like mad.
Yeah. Do you remember Bermuda? It could have been that. It could have been Bermuda again.
Bermuda.
Have you seen where they stay on Marriage Medicine? It could have been that, too.
No, okay. Kidding. Be great. Really, any of us, whenever you're having a hard time in life, just think about what the cast of Married to Medicine goes through.
That's what I'm always thinking. It's like, you should just be happy that Bravo sprung for some accommodations, because they will not spring for accommodations for, you know, you see where they stay on non-Housewives shows.
Yes. So, next up, Giselle, yeah, we're at the rooms. So she's mad about nothing. And then Monique is pretending to fall asleep on a desk or something. And Charisse is like, "Thee is beyond thwunk."
And Karen goes, "But you know what? She's having a good time. She's having a good time. So let's just let her be drunk. Little drunk driver she is."
She's like, "Is anybody trying to foreclose on this room? Ooh, it's mine. I feel like I'm home. I am home.
I have a zero tolerance for not having fun. Go drink, girl."
So let's see. Monique's like, let's face it. None of these rooms are as big as my room at home. So just give me clean sheets and a nap. I'm like, you do need a nap, damn it. I mean, I know that they're really trying to blow your alcoholism out for this. And I don't think that that's very nice. But you're kind of helping them by being drunk in every scene.
Exactly. I also don't understand the logic of that. Well, because none of these rooms are bigger than the rooms that I already have, I'm fine with it. Because is the implication that if they were bigger, that then you would feel a certain sort of way? Would you feel like unsettled by your room? Would it make you feel insecure about it? Or would you like feel like, okay, if there was one room that was bigger than your room, then you would deserve that because that's the room size that you're used to? I didn't really totally understand her logic, but it made me mad.
She's saying, I'm already winning because these rooms are all a dump to me, so I'm not going to fight for some third-rate room when I already own first class.
It's all a dump. That makes more sense. It's all a dump. Why fight? Because it's already a dump.
Yeah, exactly.
But also, I don't understand master bedroom snobbiness. Like, why? How big does a master bedroom really have to be? Okay, so you have room for like a chair, like, or two chairs. So what?
Yeah, I need the bed. That's what I care about. I don't care about the suite. Yeah. I don't care about any of that. I just need a big bed.
Big bed. And I would say, you know, an ensuite is nice. Not mandatory, but it's nice. But like when people are like, oh no, I need to have the biggest room. Are you going to be ballroom dancing in there? What's happening? That's why I like Leah Black actually on Miami. Remember? She's like, I don't care. I'll sleep in the bed that looks like a toy train.
I'll sleep in a box. I don't care. I've got my pillow made out of diamonds. I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
Diamonds aren't comfortable, but they're diamonds. I'll sleep on them.
They're forever. This bed is forever.
Oh, by the way, we did not announce the Leah Black winners, but go to leahblack.com for your jewelry and face stuff, and we'll announce the winners of the Leah Black package tomorrow for the shirt contest in our last live show.
Yeah. So then Giselle and Karen are just sitting around talking about Candace and how she was, you know, she was being a little extra, and Karen was like, well, calling Charisse a geriatric grandmother, that was a bit much, but it's funny as hell. That's what I gotta say. My wig almost fell off three times during it.
She's like, like with her clicking point. And then Giselle, of course, being snobby Giselle, like, you have no room to be a snob, okay? Crappy velvet IKEA couch. She's like, we take our own bags. Where's the butler? Please stop trying, lady, okay? So, yeah, everybody's in their own room gossiping. And then Candy ass calls her husband, and she's like, well, it was a really fun time, but then I started getting into it with the old ladies, and I guess I did call her a geriatric grandma. So that wasn't very nice. And he's like, well, don't let anybody talk to you like that.
Yeah.
That's the kind of husband I need.
He's like, brown dick. So, and Monique and Ashley are totally listening in. And, Candace is just, like, popping off. She's all angry still. She's like, I don't need the approval of old thirsty-ass bitches to be complete. I'm like, well, why are you on this show? Because that's what the show is. So, anyway, long story short, Ashley wheels in some luggage to Giselle and Karen's room because she thinks it's their luggage because it says Sha on it, S-H-A, which I would have thought would be Sha luggage. Oh. Is that a luggage?
Is that a pun luggage?
Without my champagne arriving? Well,
what do you mean I'm carrying baggage? Is that a pun? Is that a pun?
And Karen's like, I don't know whose luggage that is. It's rented. It's rented. That's my joke.
Like, maybe, you're one to talk. Maybe I wish he had cut to her new Lambo.
It was Ray sending her a fax machine. Thought you might need this, honey.
It's rented. And Giselle's like, it's probably her mother's luggage. And Karen's like, and like gives a high five. These hippocrats, okay? That's like a whole new political aisle to lean into. The hippocrats. Yes, fuckers.
I think that's what everyone, you could be a Democrat or a Republican, but you're all hippocrats at the end of the day. Political commentary.
I'd like to take the Hippocratic Oath.
I'm a nurse, and I'm going to be a doctor nurse. I work at General Hospital in Virginia Falls, Great Falls, Virginia, whatever it's called, a fax machine. Anyway.
It's because my mother's a Hippocrat.
It's a very popular party over in France. Hippocrats. Hippocrats. It's people who have hips. The hips don't lie, and yet they're all Hippocrats. Get it? It's a clever wordplay. I'm going to be at the Moth. Karen
questions,
the Moth.
Questions. I'm taking questions.
Yes, I did take a Hippocratic Oath before this press conference.
Do no harm, unless the bitch deserves it.
Doctor, lawyer, confidentiality, am I right? I literally am saying things. I don't know what I'm saying. I'm, like, just saying words.
That's because you're channeling Karen. That's how Karen talks. She's like,
it's true.
A car on the driveway going 30 miles at a coast. It's like, what? That made no sense, Karen. Well, at least it's not about my Ray.
I didn't take SATs because I don't sit on anything. As we all know, SATs spell sit in past tense, sat. See? I should be in every college.
I mean, I did used to sit, but that would be sat. Except I'm saying I used to sit, which never makes it to sat. Do you understand? Taking questions. I'm taking questions.
I took the ACT because I like to act. I am a natural actress, but don't get it twisted, honey. Just because I act doesn't mean I lie. Hippocratic oath.
Hippocratic oath. So then
I took an oath to save all the hippos. Okay.
Candace is talking like a cheerleader because, you know, she's like a cheerleader pageant girl. So she's like, she called me geriatric. And Monique has a headache because, you know, she drunk.
She's dead.
Yeah. So she's in her next room and she's like, or she's in the next room and she's like, ugh, I just can't take it. I don't know why this girl's being so mean. So she comes in for a lecture and she's like, listen, there's a fine line between telling someone what you're feeling and me. I'm like, Monique is never going to write a book. Like, her sentences never even end with words.
And since when has Monique been the doyenne on subtlety? Okay. Let's just, like, relax there. You got a saltwater fish tank in your kitchen, okay?
I know. So, she's still mad about being house-shamed for having too many houses. It's like, you're not the one to talk about thin skin, lady.
So Candace is like, you know, I'm an open book, and it's hurtful that Giselle and Charisse don't want to receive that. I'm like, you may be an open book, but you just might be a book that no one actually wants to read. Like, you're like basically Jules' poetry book that came out 20 years ago. Yes. You know,
it's like you're a jump ball in book form. Okay.
Yeah, you're just you're like O.J. Simpson. If I did it, this is how I would have done it.
Yes. Also, don't call yourself an open book and then get mad when people try to read you. You know.
Snap.
It's true though. Like,
wow,
see,
you just
girl.
Read her about being read.
You know, I love a reading read.
Our podcast gets real, real meta.
What am I supposed to go upstairs? I'm all hottie.
So now it's evening. Now it's evening time. Everyone's getting ready for dinner. Did you have anything else to say about that scene?
I was just going to say Sasha and her Louis Vuitton mirror for her lips. Like, bitch. God. Who you kidding? Okay. They need to come out with an LV leather thing that just says WYK. Who you kidding? With the B at the end, bitch. Because on this show, they get so mad if you say the word bitch.
Yeah. To me, I didn't even notice that mirror, but like it makes me mad. It makes me mad that people would spend. How much do you think a Louis Vuitton mirror costs?
That is a Chinatown mirror if I ever saw one. And well, trust, obviously. I have. I love a Chinatown in any city.
I'm looking it up right now because I'm curious. Because you know what? The only thing that would get me angrier than an expensive Louis Vuitton compact would be that Hermes throw blanket that Reza has, and so does Kyle Richards. Like, why are you spending $2,000 on a throw blanket? It may be comfy, but you could probably – like, if you want to splurge Like, I don't think you should pay more than $10 for a throw blanket. But if you want to splurge, okay, pay $100 at most, but not $2,000.
But I think they're both the types, Reza and Kyle, who really do just Chinatown. You know that Faye Resnick does both of their places, and she's like, look, it's a Hermes blanket. But she got the Chinatown version and charged them $2,000. That's what I like to think in my mind.
I can't tell online. I'm doing a very quick one, but there is a Louis Vuitton monogram mirror that it's $325 for that little thing.
Well, I think it was a phone case that, you know, she was using the reverse mirror or the reverse camera on the phone case. I think that's what it was, which is hilarious because she's like, look, it's Louis Vuitton, and she's messing up her makeup instead of using, you know, the mirror that's right in her room.
Okay, the phone case costs $195, I think. Oh, wait. Louis Vuitton, brown. Oh, yeah. It looks like it costs about... Here, okay, I have something controversial to say. I don't think Louis Vuitton is attractive. I don't think it looks nice.
Talk about a one-trick pony.
You know? Talk about a one-trick pony. Like, it's like the color of mud, and it's like... just random symbols. Like, it's random things on
it.
It's
mud and mustard with LV all over it.
It's just, it doesn't... It's, to me, it's the Emperor's New Clothes. To me, it's basically... someone said that this is expensive, and it's brown with a few... It's like hearts and spades and things like that. Whatever, I don't even care what the little symbols are.
I don't either. But I am glad it's not Emperor's New Clothes, because nobody needs to see Sha-Sha naked right now with this phone case. Okay? That was rude. Sorry, Sha-Sha. I'm sure you're great naked. So Giselle hears somebody else's phone ring, and she's like...
You really fix that.
that's me, Mr. Fixer.
Yeah.
Giselle hears a phone ring in the other room, and she's like, okay, all right. My phone isn't ringing. Shermie and I have been dating, and we talk every hour on the hour. So for me to be on this trip with the girls, and for him not to call. Like, shut up.
Well, basically, yeah, he's not taking
for 5 minutes. Just be quiet.
Well, no, they've been dating for like 6 months, and now he's suddenly not answering. I actually empathize because I'm that sort of person that's like, wait, we normally talk every day, and now suddenly not answering my calls. Is he mad at me? Like, I'm the person that would do a spiral based on something really, really, really small. So I actually understood her being like, that's my Giselle impersonation of her going, huh.
Yeah, I am very oversensitive too. It's just that once somebody's really wronged me, like Giselle has wronged me, just kidding, I'm taking everything too personally. I'm just going to be mad at anything she does. Like, no, I'm mad at her for hating stairs. Guess who hates stairs? Me. Like, it's just it's totally,
you're projecting.
It's a hypocrite. It's
my, see yourself in
it's
her.
The new, yeah, I'm a hypocrite. I'm running for office, okay? I'm projecting everything I'm mad at is Giselle's fault.
I get it. Listen, since we did take a Hippocratic oath before doing this podcast, we took an oath to be to project our self-loathing onto these people. So the people that we make fun of the most are the ones that we see ourselves the most in. And we get it.
Well, at least I'm pretty. Because Giselle is gorgeous, pretty. But God, what an asshole.
I like Giselle. But I also like you, see? So it's nighttime, and Monique is like, why are my eyes so red? And Ashley's like, it's probably because of the bottle of Jameson you drank. She's like, I think it's because of my makeup. That's probably why my eyes look red.
Yeah.
Why do I have double vision right now? It must be my makeup.
Yeah, it's your eyeliner made out of Jameson.
So then they go into Robin's room. I don't know if you noticed this. And like, you ready to go down for dinner? She's like, yeah, let me put on my jacket. I've never seen someone put on a jacket so slowly. It was like watching a sloth. Did you notice that? She's like, oh, lift it up. Lifting, rotating.
Oh.
Left arm. Go in.
Oh.
Starting to go in.
Give them Rob. This was her Lala jacket. She's like, it's off the shoulder. Wait, rotate, wait. Turn, la.
And yes, we are a podcast that will critique you on how slowly you put on a jacket. I have no shame
with that. Why are you explaining to everybody what the podcast is today? I think they know by now, okay?
I like to always make sure people know where we stand. It's part of our Hippocratic oath.
You're making like a new log line every 5 minutes. You're like, this is the podcast.
And that's what this podcast is about. Who knows? We may have new listeners.
Right. So Giselle and Robin. Just kidding. I'm in a really loopy mood today. I actually went out for Mother's Day yesterday and went to bed at 6 p.m. So I actually feel great today, and it's disturbing to feel this good on a Monday. I'm like happy and positive.
I saw you went out with Trisha.
Trisha!
Where did you get? Where was that, by the way? I was trying to figure it out.
Well, Trisha started watching Vanderpump Rules. It's like, welcome to 2018, Trisha. But she started watching Vanderpump Rules, so she wants to go everywhere they go. And she's like, they went to Electric Owl one time, so we went there.
Oh, how is that place? Because I used to live right by there.
Service sucked, very expensive, but super fun. And the food was good.
Okay, but and the service sucked. What? So that's very Vanderpump Rules. You got the whole experience.
And they were probably afraid of us. We're very loud. I mean, Trisha's me times 10. And then her boyfriend is loud, too. So it was just three of us, like, blah, 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 like yelling and getting shit-faced. I mean, we really, I'm not proud of it, okay? It's kind of my entrance into AA, but not pretty, okay? It was still light outside when I went to bed.
It's called Electric Owl, and nothing about being called Electric Owl says something that's quiet. It's like a loud owl going, hoo, 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 zap.
That was us. We electrocuted people. So Giselle and Robin.
Electric Sheree.
Can I have the fried chicken sandwich? Their fried chicken sandwich is delicious, by the way. Very greasy. It was like drinking grease.
I'm going to try my hand at making fried chicken for the very first time. I think I'm going to practice it because I got a Dutch oven that has like my previous Dutch oven had like low walls. So I was like afraid things were going to splatter out. But now I've got high walls and I feel protected and safe.
I've been a fried chicken pro since the southern season of Top Chef when I learned to make fried chicken to compete with the people on TV. And well, biscuits, yes.
Ina Garten had a recipe for fried chicken like last week. And of course, if anyone is going to have an expert recipe on fried chicken, it's going to be a lady from the Hamptons.
tip. Here's the most important tip with fried chicken. Really measure... use the thermometer with your oil.
Of course. Well, of course.
I know I'm telling you, so you will do it exactly and precisely like you're supposed to. But I was like, what's the difference? Hot oil is hot oil. No, that's not true.
No. No. I think you have to be like really good to be able to do it by eye. Because there's a way to do it where you can eyeball it and you can see the bubbles and you can see how you do a flour tester and you can see how it floats. I'm not like that. I am putting in – that thermometer is going in and – even that, I'm always convinced I'm undercooking my chicken at all times. I see like the slightest hue of pink, and then it becomes this whole process of me like bringing my little plate of chicken around to every room, testing different lighting. Like, is it me? Is it the lighting? How's it look under this light? How's it look under this light? It becomes like as much as I love to cook, chicken is something that is still hard for me.
You're like Sasha with the Louis Vuitton phone case putting on her makeup. Is it better in this room? Is it better in this room?
I was looking at the thumbeth cloth with Ono. That's Shasha at dinner. They go to dinner and she tells the waitress, I was looking at the thumbeth cloth with Ono. She's like, look, okay. So I don't know why I wrote that down. I just, for some reason, the idea of Shasha having summer squash risotto was like, didn't compute in my mind. Like, I couldn't process it. And the fact that she asked for it, I don't know. I felt like I needed to bring it to the podcast.
I'm glad you did. Well, there's a lot of food for
and
you
that's
bring.
What this podcast is about. It's about summer squash risotto, okay?
This is about Louis Vuitton shaming and monitor hanging. And guess what? I did not hang this monitor in less than 7 minutes. I've been trying 3 months. It's, you know why I thought of that? Because I have Jizz and Rob is my next scene, Giselle and Robin. But I saw Rob and Jizz, and I was like, oh my God, this monitor was a pain in the ass.
Well, Giselle and Robin, that's the scene where Robin's putting on her jacket very slowly.
Oh yeah, but then also the important part beyond the jacket.
That wasn't the important part. Fine.
Yeah, beyond that, it's that they're doing this whole Monique is a drunk storyline, which.
Like we said,
Monica's not helping anything, but this is not cool, okay?
What?
That they're just like, oh, she's a drunk. She's a drunk. She's a drunk. Stop. Stop saying she's a drunk. Even if she's a drunk, stop saying that. They could take her children.
Don't blame them for her behavior, okay? Listen, yes, Bueller agrees.
My God.
Bueller
this is agrees. That kind of podcast. Bueller. This is Bueller Barks, and this is...
That's what this sort of podcast is.
Oh, my God, stop.
That's what this sort of podcast is. This is a sort of podcast where you pipe up and a dog weighs in.
You guys, I've never been more unprofessional. Just kidding. I was last show. Okay, so go ahead, Ben.
No. Here's my thing, okay? I think if you act like a drunken mess, that gives everyone around you the right to say, oh my God, they're a drunk. I'm sorry, that's just what it is. Because if you don't know how to handle your booze, then that's just you. Then the repercussions is that everyone's going to talk about you. That's just the way it is. That's why you're supposed to learn how to handle your booze. So therefore, if you drink two or four, it doesn't really matter. But if you drink some martinis and get in a car and then crash into a little tree before hitting a big tree and then wind up in a ditch, sorry, that's going to open up people to say, you know what? I always thought she was just like drinking, but you know what? She may actually be a drunk. She drank a whole bottle of wine by herself in the bus a day after she crashed her Bentley off of two martinis.
Well, so, forgive me for trying to sustain myself.
And sorry, so like, sure, like you talk about, you're like, well, she may lose her kids. Well, how about she doesn't drink and drive? How about she does that?
Look, I think here's one thing we can agree on. Don't drink your kids. Am I right, guys?
I took a Hippocratic oath, and that oath says that I'm going to call that drunk. Here's where my Hippocratic oath comes to play. I love being able to, like, look down my nose at people and be like, oh my God.
Oh my God, me too.
That's like my favorite thing. So when you say, like, they shouldn't be shaming Monique for it, I'm like, no, because I know if I were in that room, I'd be like, can you believe it, girls? She crashed her car off of two martinis. Like, she was drunk driving. I would be that person. So you're basically saying to me, no, Ben, you're not allowed to say that about Monique.
Okay, I take it back.
Good. Thank you.
You win. So Giselle's like...
I just had to do a filibuster just to win my point.
And I'm like, time's up. That's the kind of podcast this is. It's over.
Ben
does
a filibuster. You smoke a cigarette outside the screen door. And then when I'm done, you're like, okay, you're right.
You see, how am I not married? So Giselle's like, she is drunk again. She woke up in a ditch. And Robin's like, she said that? She said she was in a ditch? And Giselle's like, you may have not been on the bus yet. And I'm like, I love that Giselle can shade her for always being late while at the same time calling someone an alcoholic. It's like she's that octopus from The Little Mermaid. She's multitasking, okay? She's like giving the waiter shade outside.
I love that that's your reference for multitasking, the octopus like playing the xylophone.
She's got a lot of hands. I will save you all from a Little Mermaid run. So Robin's like, oh, a ditch? That's not good. I lived there one time with Juan. It brought us closer.
You poor unfortunate sola.
So next up, Nima Colin Still. Dinner. We're at dinner at a restaurant called Los Tuecos.
What was it called?
Los Tuecos.
Wait, no, I didn't. Literally, what was it called?
Ludwig! Are you trying to make me sound like a bad French robot?
You're the one who said you didn't want to go on a Little Mermaid run.
I'm doing this podcast from a ditch.
We are reporting live from Monique's ditch.
Le Poisson. Do not try and make me say Le Poisson, how I love Le Poisson, love to chop and to serve little fish.
Sha-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Go ahead and drink the martini.
This is one of those restaurants that tricks poor people who are pretending to be rich into sounding like idiots. Because yes. It's like people like Karen. She's like, I'll have the what is it? The
escargot.
Liver? Yeah, everything fancy. She's like, yeah. I'll have the escargot and the caviar and the bubbles and the... I'm like, okay, Karen. Just order a burger. It's probably the best thing there.
She's like, I'll have the patata. They're like, what? The patata. They're like, oh, that's a Pop-Tart? That's actually not on the menu. Oh, I apologize. I must have been looking at my iPhone instead of the menu.
I'd just like to order something that reminds everyone that Ray is the one with financial problems, not me.
So we have separate bank accounts. This conference is over.
Now, I love to waitress shame on these shows. I hate the waiters and waitresses who are trying to get a job on TV. This is not one of those waitresses. This is none other than the Marie Osmond, ladies and gentlemen. She's so positive. She's like, hi, Marie Osmond.
Yeah, she definitely had some of that, like, Pennsylvania, like perkiness. You know, she's like, hi there. Hi. I just came down from the Poconos to wait on you guys here. I used to work at Mount Airy Lodge that closed down. So here I'm at Nima Colon. We're giving you a 4-course meal. Do you guys want the Nouveau Riche escargot? Sure. Summer squash risotto over there for the lady in the giant tarp. Great.
Day by day. She's like doing show tunes in the middle.
One day at a time, one day at a time, one day at a
So then Ashley tells this sweet story to us. She's like, I went to Nima Colon once with my grandfather, and he didn't make very much money, but he wanted to show me what I could achieve. I'm like, that's so sweet. You started going there with an old man who's paying for everything, and now you're still going there, but it's a different old man who's paying for everything. Score.
Yes.
Lesson learned.
And then she gets a text from her mom. It's like, hey, honey, I need $500. And she's like, how's it going with you trying to get a better arrangement? She's like, I'm still working on that. I need the $500, though, bitch. Give it to me.
Yeah, cut her off. That's it.
Cut her off.
Text and then Ashley for $500 after you're getting $4,000 already a month. Get out.
Yeah.
You're done, lady.
And Ashley does have the realization, I think it was now, but it could have happened later. She's like, yeah, it kind of reminds me of the fact that I need to be putting my relationship first, because the reason why my grandpa took me here is because my mom ditched me with him to go off with a man for a year. It's like, yeah, you need to.
And now I'm going to ditch her to keep my man. So you see, all karma. Does it taste like escargot?
Monique's like, please stop talking about the ditch.
Yeah. Well, it was like one of the hardest times, but we made it. Have you seen my new tennis shoes?
So now we live in a two-story ditch.
So you know how I'm like, I hate Giselle. I don't care what anybody says, but then I like her again. This is another one of those episodes. Because right now my blood is boiling really with Giselle. Like, I'm really mad at her for being mad at everybody in the hotel because bedrooms are upstairs. I'm not saying it makes sense, but I'm mad at her. And then Marie Osmond comes by and she's like, I have 3 options for bread. And Giselle's like, I want them all.
Yeah.
Like, come on. Now I'm supposed to love you again? This is confusing as hell.
I've never been more jealous watching bread. I was just watching all the bread, and there was like a honey dipper, and I just was like, this is what I want. I just want delicious bread right now with different types of spreads. Like, maybe I'll put butter on this one. Maybe I'll dip this one in olive oil. Maybe honey will go on top of that one.
Is someone vacuuming? I hear a psss.
No, I'll tell you for sure, there's no vacuuming happening here.
Me too. I had my foot on Bueller, and I really thought it was my floor for a minute. That's how bad it is in here.
My apartment is a mess right now. My boyfriend went out of town. I'm just like, I'm going to throw a shirt over here. It's not that he like expects me to be clean or anything, but like there's this quiet expectation I have of myself. I feel like when I'm like, I want to be a clean person, but like somehow when I'm alone, I'm like, I'm putting my shirt on the floor. It's weird.
That's one of the reasons I never want to date. I just want to, like, leave shit on the ground, okay?
Yeah.
And that's
He would never judge me for leaving shit on the ground, but I just feel when there's, like, another person, I feel some sort of subtle pressure to be like, I am a clean person, and I'm going to prove it to this person.
That's also called being a good person.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It's more like it's a shared space.
Not throwing shit on the ground for someone else to deal with.
You know, it's a shared space, so it's about being respectful, you know? And that's so right. Now that it's only me, I'm like, I'm going to disrespect myself and my space.
We are that kind of podcast.
That's the sort of podcast. We're getting to the root of putting a shirt on the floor.
So then Giselle's like, how is Michael and Ashley? Yeah. And how is that mom situation? And she's like, well, she has to be out of the house next week, and I can't give her money or I'm divorced. It's like, whoa, way to just put that one right out there. And Robin's like, finances can ruin a marriage. New tennis shoes, new tennis shoes. I've got new tennis shoes. He loves me, he loves me.
We're almost out of the ditch. So then Candace's like, oh my God, my mom is calling me. That's so funny. Speak about mothers, right? It's about me and my mom, right? That's what we're talking about?
Yeah, she's like, this conversation is really showing me how to set boundaries with my mom. Like, no, it's not. Please don't ever set a boundary with someone who's giving you money. That's different.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
When people give you money, you don't give them boundaries. You give them thanks, and that's it.
Yeah, you actually take away the boundaries. You say more. Actually, you have to be careful, though, because people give you money, then all of a sudden they got something to say about it.
That's why my penis is for free.
So more food is arriving, and I just love Karen. She pulls out the waitress. She goes, yes, it's Karen Huger speaking. Private press conference for one. Tell the chef yes, 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 yes. Yes, 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 yes.
Is that what she was saying?
Yeah, she said, tell the chef yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Whatever he wants to send me, tell him yes, because I can afford it. Even though Ray can't. Oh, poor Ray didn't hear it from me. So Rob's like, Karen's like, well, now that I'm drunk too, and I've already ordered fancy-sounding things off the menu in La Franca, I would like to say I'm harboring bad feelings, because real friends don't come after each other like that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, let's keep it real. Giselle, you've called Ray out of his name 50 million times. Giselle's like, I thought we moved past it. Well, I can't. I can't get past it. I never had an official press conference to announce me getting past it, so consider it not past. Consider it, like, me driving in the highway, not past.
Refresh your RSS feed. You'll get the headline when I've forgiven you.
So they're like, okay. And so she's like, I don't touch your husband's, so get the fuck off my husband and apologize. I want you to apologize. So Sasha and Giselle are like, okay, sure. Because I'm mad that, like, we said we'd apologize. Oh, okay.
They're all just pass the bread. Pass the. That's not even a word, Karen. Just pass it. I'm rich. So Karen. Yeah, they're all talking about how they're going to apologize. And Giselle goes, I brought us all together for a lovely book reading to hash it out. If you didn't bring it up then, not now. I'm like, you don't get to, like, plug yourself and, like, pick a lane,
not a book
Giselle.
Reading.
Yeah, that was
okay,
a book slaughter.
All...
Okay, it was a book slaughter. They should have had that, like, as they should have pulled that book and eaten it between two pieces of white bread. That's how bad it was, okay?
Yeah, worst no, slaughter. First of all, she sounded like she was giving an official reading at the Library of Congress, you know, for like 45 minutes. You read a blurb off of your iPhone. Okay, that is not a book reading. All right. You are not in Powell's books. Okay. You were in your backyard reading off an iPhone, reading a blurb. That does not count. But anyway, so Robin's like, wait, so you're going to be apologizing for calling Ray Uncle Ben and like the black book? And Karen's like, don't do it. Don't do it, Robin. Don't. I know it's on your lips. It's on your lips, Robin. Don't say it, Robin. Robin, do not say it, Robin. You know what? This heifer's got to stop saying that. Okay, you know what? Stop saying it, okay?
Marie Osmond, put a croissant in her mouth, please.
Roll up on my man. Karen, roll up on my man.
But I love that Karen did call Robin out because she's like, what is she apologizing for? The t-shirt with the hilarious hashtags such as tax reform or hashtag Uncle Ben or, and Karen's like, you know what, Robin, come up with your own lines.
Yeah, and Sasha's
roll up
like,
off my man. Speaking of roles, I'll take another, Marie.
yes. Can we use our fine restaurant voices? Karen's like, okay, Robin, shut the fuck up.
Grow up and get your own panties. Who says
yeah.
that?
Yeah, it didn't really make sense.
And Robin's like, I just asked her a question. She's losing it. It's not cute. She's the oldest woman at the table.
Okay, look. Ladies on Potomac, all you do is drunk shame each other and age shame each other.
Yeah.
Okay? I would suggest looking in a mirror. But I know you only have those ones that come inside the bathroom, so don't do that. But you guys, you have better things to do than age shame and drunk shame each
they
other.
Don't. They
That's
don't.
What
That's
we're
a huge
here
assumption.
For.
That's what this podcast is about. They don't have anything better to do. So you're wrong. Because if they're not age shaming or drunk shaming, they're like sitting around watching, I don't know, not even QVC. They're just watching like Shop NBC, like the low rent version of home shopping. So this whimsical little soda arrives and they all sip it. They're like, oh, yes. And then once it's gone, Karen's like, I was having a real moment with Giselle. A real moment. Robin's like, oh, real strange moment. Burn. Ditch burn.
Burn. You're about to get slimed.
I just like imagining Robin hosting Nickelodeon shows because she's so not fun. She's like the opposite of a Nickelodeon host.
Burn. That was a good one.
So Karen's like, Karen, she's yelling at Robin now. And Robin's like, what did I do? And she's like, don't make comments, Robin. And she's like, I didn't make a comment. I asked a question. She's like, I know the difference. Robin, you're the dizziest bitch at this table. And she's like, did you just call me a bitch? Girls, let's stop making
that.
It sound like these girls are acting ridiculous with that. They
well,
say
they
bitch
are.
Please all the time. And that's basically all they're doing now. And now suddenly they're all going to like have a march about using the B word now. Come on.
There is a difference between bitch please and calling someone a bitch, as we learned on the famous boat episode of Atlanta. But that being said, it's kind of funny to me that like Robin's poking at Karen, poking. And finally, Karen says some nonsense like, "You're the dizziest bitch," which doesn't even make sense, or at least doesn't make sense to me. I don't know dizzy as a slang word.
Dizzy, you know, yeah, dizzy is stupid.
Oh, I thought that was like ditzy.
Dizzy, you know, dizzy bitch is a word, yeah.
Oh,
believe
okay.
it or not. Hello, thank you for calling Webster. Is there anything else I can do for you?
I mean, I figured that's what she meant by it. I just hadn't heard it. But I love she says that, and then all of a sudden Robin gets righteous, like, don't call me a bitch, whatever. So it's just ridiculous. So Sasha goes, Karen, I know you feel the way you feel about your feelings. I'm like, there's got to be a better way to say that.
Is this why Sasha got fired? What is she even saying half the time? I know that you feel that way you feel about your feelings. Go back to your champagne room, you drunk. Get out of here. See how it feels? I'm just going to drunk shame everybody from now on.
But you shouldn't call Robin a bitch. So Karen's like, fine. I'm sorry for calling you a bitch, but I stand by the dizzy comment.
They're like, well, that's not nice to dizzy people.
She's like, okay, well... Robin, I'm sorry for saying you're a dizzy bitch, but I have a fire in my gut, foray! And Giselle's like, don't say but. And she's like, okay, I'll try again. And then she does that nostril flare thing that she does. Yeah. Her nostrils are like, dream, dream, dream. And she's like, I'll try it again. Robin, sorry that I called you a dizzy bitch. And could you please forgive me for having a fire in my gut, foray? I was like, no, you just say you're sorry and end it. And she's like, I'm not good at this.
All right, let's try it again. I have a fire in my belly for Ray, so therefore I apologize for you, and I hope you reference the first part of that sentence. No, it doesn't count if you say it beforehand. Same as saying but.
I'm sorry you turned round and round in circles until you're dizzy, bitch. Does that make more sense?
So later that night,
in a hot tub, champagne is in her room. Champagne. Sasha. So you see? She did it. She finally brainwashed me. I'm like, champagne is in her room. Ugh. Uh-huh. Because she's the champagne lady. Charisse is in her room pouring a humongous glass of champagne after drunk shaming people. But then at the hot tub, Karen's like, I'm going to hang out with the children. Hello, girls. Me and Charisse have to go to bed soon. Anybody have any questions? And they're like, no, not really. So that was the end of that. I was like, damn.
They're like, what were the 1930s like?
I don't know. I was just a little girl then. Nostril flare.
It was an exciting time. There was a highway that was president, FDR. It was very exciting. It was a Great Depression, but Ray and I were fine. We had separate bank accounts during that time, so we met out like bandits. Literally, he was a bandit.
So funny when people in 2018 complaining about living with depression. I say, tell me about it.
All we did was eat grapes back then. Grapes of wrath. See what I did there?
Have you ever eaten mustard on a stick? Well, I have, girls. They're like, okay, never mind. Sorry we asked.
Ray invented the Tennessee Valley Authority. It was monumental. I was like, Ray, we need a new deal. Okay, I'm going to stop. I'm not going to make depression jokes, okay?
It's potato, just... potato. That was basically the menu.
Yeah.
So in the morning, Monique wakes up and she's like, whoa, this is so nice. It really made me realize maybe I need more help. Like, you were drunk.
Yeah. Something was like, what was hurting her? Was it like her shoulder? Was her head? Like, what was going on?
I think she was just so happy that she got sleep. And she's like, oh, this is what it feels like to be rested. Maybe I need more help. I don't know. But I can't feel sorry for someone who's like, oh, my God, I can't find a nanny. I just can't. Yeah. Like, it's bred in me that I can't feel bad for you. That's your complaint in the world. I can't.
Yeah. And so she diagnoses herself with whiplash because, like, yeah, you crashed into a tree. You probably have whiplash. She's like, so that's probably why I'm tired all the time or whatever. And so her take from it is, this is showing me that I need to stop extending myself so much. I'm like, yes, you are really extending yourself towards the martinis. Like, you're like, I really have to make less time for the martinis and more time for staying awake.
I just burped up Tito's, so I think that means I can't say anything.
Yeah.
So next is Giselle and Charisse. God, Charisse really is a horrible human being. I love it. She's like, me and Karen, you know, we've been friends for a long time, and we have these tipsy talks. Tipsy talk with Sasha and Karen, tipsy talk.
It's like a TED talk, but spelled TIPFY instead.
This is Charisse. Welcome to Tipsy Talk. Today, we're talking about FAFSA.
Here's what you do. If you want to get ahead in life, here's what you do. You make a speech at the bottom of the staircase, and you ask people if they have any jobs for you.
So she's like, we were having Tipsy Talk, and I don't think she meant to tell me this because she was really tipsy, and it's really private, and she was going to be so embarrassed if I ever say anything. I'm like, just say it.
I know.
You know you're going to.
Well, that's one secret I'll never tell. XOXO, Sasa girl. So now they all go off to the woods for a ropes course. So they get into separate cars. And Sasha and Giselle, I think, and Karen are in one car, something like that. But either way, Sasha's making fun of Candace. And I forgot about Sasha's British voice, because this is Sasha impersonating Candace. Like, it's like, that was a bitch moment. That was a bitch moment. You're old. You're old. Let's have fun. I'm like, she's not British.
I'm going to keep talking about Katie Du. Good one, Sasha. And Monique's like, well, I'm trying to help Candace, but she's just not listening to me. At which point I said, you know what, Monique? You deserve what you get. Shame on you. You were the one who made her do that shit in the first place.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, not made her, but...
Yeah, inspired her to. So they all separate into different activities. One set of women go off to do some clay pigeon shooting. Another set of women go off to do fly fishing. And what was funny is that the way it was edited, it made it look like the girls with the guns were shooting at the girls who were fishing. I was like, is Ashley shooting at Giselle?
That's now there's rude. A show.
Yeah.
So I didn't write a ton of notes during this, so you just tell me what happens until they go to lunch.
Okay, so they're shooting, and so Robin's having a fun time with Candace. Robin's like, I actually like Candace. Like, both of our faces got numb when we're shooting guns. And then
notice
Ashley...
how Robin suddenly likes everybody when Giselle's not around. I mean, it's every cast member that Robin finally spends some alone time with, and she's like, actually, I like Ashley. Actually, I like Charisse. Actually, stop hanging out with Satan, okay?
She doesn't judge me for putting on my jacket really slowly. So Ashley's shooting, and she's like, she can't hit any of the clay pigeons until she starts visualizing them as her mom's boyfriend, and then she starts to shoot them, so that was fun. And then there's like fishing, and Giselle catches like a little trout or something. So that's fun too. And so finally there's like a picnic, and this is like the fishing ladies are having a picnic. And so Giselle is like, so Karen, do we still need to apologize to Ray? And Karen's like, yes, yes. And I say that, yes, not just to the chef, but to you. Yes, yes, yes.
And then Giselle's like, okay. And then to us, she goes, I ain't apologizing nah, for nothing. Nah. He is a black, broke Bill Gates.
Yeah. I mean, she's basically like, now that you're sober, do we really have to apologize? Was he really that upset? And Karen's like, yes, I think you have to. It's going to mean a lot to us and to him, etc. So then Karen, they start talking about Blue Eyes, because Charisse, Blue Eyes is the guy that Karen is allegedly having an affair with, who is...
Her driver.
First mentioned, the driver mentioned on the reunion a few months ago.
Yeah, so she's supposedly boning her driver. So Charisse tries to ease into it. And, you know, she's not very easy. I'm trying to think of something that goes with
subtle.
Easy, but I can't. So, she's not very subtle. So Charisse is like, well, guess what? Last night during our very special episode of Tipsy Talk with Sasha and Karen, Karen was telling me she's going to set me up on the date with Blue Eyes.
Yeah, Karen's like, I didn't say that. He's a married man, and I wouldn't set him up on a date because he would not be canoodling with anyone, least of all me, if that was what you were going to imply next. No, absolutely not. This press conference is over.
What's a canoodle? I don't even like that. Bring me more bread, Marie.
So now Giselle weighs in, because apparently Ashley's been talking about Blue Eyes for the past few months, and Giselle's like, word on the street is that Ashley's stepson saw Karen at Blue Eyes at Oz in a compromising situation.
Yes, which that's not very specific.
It's not. And I think even Karen would know not to go to Oz with Blue Eyes, because the greatest chance of Potomac fans being present would be at Oz, right?
Yes, and Giselle will use anything against you in the worst possible way. So I think that if she was making out, she would be like, she was making out. or she was getting rubbed up on by ya. So when she just says a compromising position, I know Giselle's word salad. She has nothing. Giselle's got nothing.
Yeah, I would like to know what this – I mean, I feel like just automatically being in Oz is a compromising position. It's like, oh, we know you went to Oz.
No kidding.
You're compromised.
Eating a kangaroo, okay? I'm glad it's okay in other places. This is still a place where you're basically eating someone who carries their baby right on the front of their stomach in a sweet little pouch.
A sweet little Joey. Whoa. So, yeah, so Karen's like, listen, he's my driver, and that's just the way it is. And, you know, don't be jealous because you ain't never had a driver. Mike, come on, Karen, you took an Uber X once. That's what that means.
No kidding. And who's paying for this guy? And why have we never seen? There's a lot of questions. And by the way, of course she's having an affair with Blue Eyes. I just don't like that Giselle's the one he found out. So she's like, you might just want to shut it down so it's not spread. I'm like, you just said it on national TV. I think it's pretty much spread. But so did Ashley, that little troublemaker.
Yeah, she is a troublemaker. And the biggest trouble she could make is forcing these ladies to go to a ropes course, because that's where they go next.
Oh, Lord.
So they get there, and Robin's like, I'm tired. It's like, okay. And
can we just talk about what an alcoholic Monique is some more?
And Ashley's like, well, guys, I mean, I think she had 4 martinis. And she's like, 4 martinis? The difference between 2 and 4 drinks is 2 drinks.
That's a lot of drinks. That's like almost as many drinks as the original 2 drinks.
2 drink minimum isn't just a river in Egypt.
Actually, it is. 2 drink minimum? So, so they get to the ropes course. And of course, Karen and Giselle are like, oh, hell no. Hell no. Hell no. So they wind up going on to like the low ropes course while everyone else is up on the high ropes course. And the editors are so shady because we see footage of Karen just like screaming like, ah, hold me, Blue Eyes, hold me. And then the camera pans down or tilts down and you see she's like a foot off the ground screaming for her life.
And Giselle's like, why are we doing this? And Ashley's like, it's team building. She goes, how are ropes team building? And she goes, it's encouragement, which is team building. And she's like, oh, okay, I encourage you to bring up alcoholism and cheating. Team. Yeah. Teamwork.
So at one point on the high ropes course, Ashley is there with Robin, and Ashley's like, you know, I'm really happy that, like, of all the people that I'm up here with, it's with you. And Robin's like, yeah, I'm really happy to be a trooper. It's like,
I'm really happy they started making jackets without sleeves.
I'm really happy that I've survived because I'm still putting on my safety harness.
Have I talked about my tennis shoes yet?
Yeah, I just like that Robin was not going to be like, oh my god, I'm really happy to be here with you too. She's like, I'm happy that I'm here as well.
She didn't, but then she did the same thing that she did with Candy Ash. She's like, you know, I'm surprisingly shocked to be having fun with Ashley. It's like, guess he's not with you right now. Okay, yeah. So next,
have you ever done a ropes course, Ronnie, by the way?
Hell no.
Would you ever do one?
Hell no. I will barely walk my dog down the block. Okay, I've trained my dog to go potty right outside the door. Like, yeah. It's bad.
Yeah.
It's bad.
I was just curious. I just was curious.
Have you?
I did one in ninth grade. And we did like a low ropes course and a high ropes course for like a school trip. And the high ropes, it was really fun. And the first segment, I remember being really scared and I was like trembling like a leaf. But then by the time I got to the first tree, I was like, cool. And then everything else was easy. It was fun.
Oh, man. I don't even like imagining my little Ben scared.
Well, you know what made me not scared? Because at one point I fell off. And like when you fall, you just dangle by your safety harness. And once you fall off and you realize it's like, okay, then you suddenly become confident. It was like a growing experience.
Oh, babe, I'm so glad you grew. You grew into the fine man I became friends with.
Oh, my God. So now we're back at the hotel. They're just having fun times at the hotel. Karen's talking to Ray on the phone, and basically it's nighttime. And Ashley FaceTimes with Michael about the mom.
He's like,
get rid of it, otherwise I'm going to break your didgeridoo I got for you.
Here's what you do to your mom. You say you want to give out money, you do it on the street. I'm not taking your homeless men in here. Now get on top of me, you little peach butt.
Little peach butt. So now we're at dinner. And they're having, I guess it looked like they were having dinner in their suite, right? Because I sort of was like, I was getting distracted at that point because I think I think I was like looking at like a cracker or something in my apartment.
Do you want me to take over? Because this is my favorite thing ever.
Yeah.
So they go to this fancy dinner. And the guy comes out and he's like, "For tonight, to start with, we're doing a play on the caprese salad. Instead of tomatoes, it's peaches." I'm like, that's a peach salad.
It's not a play. That's a bastardization. Peaches and halloumi. Okay. That is not a play. That is not tomatoes. And like a play on it would be like tomatoes, basil, mozzarella, but they are like pureed together. I don't know. It's like, but this is like just different ingredients. Like you can't put three ingredients together and say it's a play on a caprese.
Yeah. So Giselle tries to get the conversation going. She's like, "What's caprese?" Yeah. Just kidding. She's like, "Well, fly fishing was nice. So Karen, did you have a nice talk?" And Karen's like, "Oh, we talked about everything. We talked about Therese. We talked about Candace. We talked about Ashley. We talked about Marie Antoinette. We talked about Marie and
Maria Shriver.
We talked about Maria from The Sound of Music.
We talked about Maria Theresa from the Habsburg Empire.
Hollandaise. Happy days." It's like, okay, Karen, get to the point.
Bernays.
And Candy's like, "What was the general consensus?" And Monique's like, Monique's like, "Well, when it comes to you, we were like, she's so reserved." And then suddenly she's like, "Nah, nah, 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 nah." Which is just such a dick move on Monique's part. And Ashley does say, like, one minute she's getting Candace riled up, and now she's acting like she's shocked that Candace got riled up, you know?
Right. Just to clarify on that, or to expound upon that, is that Monique was like, "Girl, we told you to speak up, but we didn't say, like, go extra and pop off. You know, you got to, like, rein it in a little bit." And that's where Ashley's like, that's kind of bullshit. And we see a flashback of Monique saying, like, "If she had said that to me, I've been like, fuck you. Fuck your mom, fuck your dad, fuck your hamster, I'm out of here, throw down this mannequin, throw him out the door, throw a glass, drunk drive into a ditch."
Yes. And then Ashley, in front of everybody, and not just in her diary room, was like, "Well, it looks to me like she followed our advice. I mean, there was thick tension on the bus." And Candace is like, "Well, yeah, because you said that Therese was jealous of you and me's relationship." And Monique's like, "I've never talked about you or any jealousy between me and Therese, okay? Little tree into a big tree. Not my fault. I was tired."
Yeah. And then we see a flashback. And actually, it was Ashley who said, like, maybe Therese is jealous that Monique has a new friend, you know, but Monique just like laughed and sort of like gave a nonverbal like consent, like she signed off on that, you know. So now Monique is sort of caught in the middle here, and so it's like, "Are you flip flopping, Monique? Is Monique, what's happening here? Are you caught in the middle?" I'm like, "Nah, she's just wasted. Just let her be drunk."
That's pretty much their excuse now for everything that comes out of Monique's mouth. They're like, "Sit down, you're drunk." So Candace is like, "Yeah, well, I was laughing when I said it was a bitch moment. And if you took it that way, Therese, I apologize. And if you got mad because I called you a geriatric grandma, then I guess I'm sorry for that, too." And Therese is like, "Well, I'm not one, so fa-fa." Yeah. She just rolls by on her.
Yeah. On her hoverboard. Clearly, I'm not. And Candace is like, "Well, clearly I'm not a little girl." Yeah. Fa-fa. So then the food arrives, and they're just like silent. They're just like, "Oh, yum, yum." And then Robin's like, "Hey, Monique, are you okay? Because Ashley said you had four drinks." And Ashley's like, "Did I say four?"
It's like cut to 3 minutes ago.
Yeah, and then she's like, then we see another footage of her where she's saying, like, "She definitely had at least three, because I had three, and I know she didn't, I know she had as many as I did, da 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 da."
And then Giselle's like, "Did you feel she was drunk?" And Ashley's like, "I know I was drunk." And then Monique's like, "Look, here's what happened. I was at the bar sipping a Moscow Mule, and I didn't like it, so I sent it back." I was like, the ice cubes?
Yeah.
Because like, that's so a Ronnie move. I'm like, don't like this. Don't like this.
I'm sorry. There are too many ice cubes in this. I'm going to give these ice cubes back, but I'll keep the mule apart.
Yeah, so then she had two after that. So I guess she's saying, okay, maybe you could consider that three, because I technically ordered three, but it really was only two. Which, two martinis, you still shouldn't be driving.
Shouldn't be driving, unless you're on a hoverboard. But Monique is like, "Listen, girls, I can normally go 5 martinis before I'm throwing up. So, you know, I'm good at 4. That's what that means. I'm like, if you're throwing up at 5, that means you're like, oh, like way overserved at 5, which means you're probably like really drunk at 4, which means you're probably drunk at 3, which means you're probably getting drunk at 2, which means you shouldn't be driving after 1.
Yes. And so they're, you know, trying to explain that to her, but she's like, look, guys, I have 2 young kids. I'm trying to find a nanny. I'm working on a website. Have you tried to peel ginseng? It is very difficult. Monique's like, she goes, I didn't know I was that exhausted. Okay.
Here's her defense. She goes, listen, I think I'm fine as I'm driving because she goes, I feel myself getting sleepy when I was driving. And, you know, there's a difference between being sleepy and being tipsy. I'm like, yeah, you get sleepy after you're tipsy. That's what tipsy does. It makes you sleepy.
Thank God. Oh, my God. Thank God.
Don't you know how alcohol works? It's a depressant.
Yes, girl. They call it self-medication for a reason. I need my medicine. Oh, God.
If you're sleepy after drinking, that means you want to pass out. That means you're drunk. You're drunk.
It's not fun. She's also like, well, I know I wasn't drunk because normally I can have 5 martinis before I throw up. I was like, okay, you're really just digging yourself a deeper hole here. Just say it was a mistake. I will never go anywhere without an Uber again. Okay.
Exactly.
Just say that. Even if it's a lie for TV, just say that.
Exactly. And Giselle's like, I'm not buying that you decided to have a siesta in a ditch. So now she's just saying like, so Monique, we feel like something else is going on. She's like, it's so hard. I have 2 kids and no nanny and Chris is at a camp and I'm working on a website. I'm like, every time we see you at home, you have like 12 people around you. It's either family members or your assistant or best friends. I think someone can help you out.
Yeah, she's fine. Like, again, I like her, but I'm not going to worry about her.
Yeah.
Maybe anybody on the road around her or whatever. Yeah. But she's like, yeah, I've got a lot that I'm managing. So Karen's like, well, Ashley, they also came at me with the blue eyes thing. And let's be real, Ashley. Let's be real. I have several male friends, okay? Is that okay? I hear you, Ashley. I hear you. I'm like, why is she always at the top of a staircase in a movie in the 1940s in a turban? Why? Can you have one?
I'm ready for my close-up, yes. Miss Ashley.
Ashley starts with Ashley face down in a pool. Rewind!
Have you met my butler? He's played by a former silent film director.
If you have any questions, ask Jeeves.
So she's like, I'm fixing to shut that down real quick. Listen, I like to listen to Frank Sinatra. They call him Blue Eyes, right?
L is for the way you look at Frank Sinatra, which it's not a man that I'm sleeping with. How dare you, Ashley? I see you.
So stop spreading the news. Ray and I've got different bank accounts.
He's at Wells Fargo. I'm BOA.
I want to wake up in a room that's a little bit larger than Monique's.
She's like, no, Karen. I'm taking questions. And Ashley doesn't back down. She's like, well, I'm sorry, Karen, but there is something going on. Okay, do you guys have an arrangement? Is that what it is? And then she goes, well, let me ask you, Ashley. Did Michael have a physical relationship with that man he sent his penis to on the London Grinder?
And Ashley's like, no, because guess what? No one's ever seen Michael with a man, unlike your man who people have seen. You know, so Karen's like,
but we have all seen this penis on Grindr. I mean, it was on the blog.
And we also saw him, like, roping other guys, which is nothing wrong with it. I mean, like, obviously we're gay. We just don't like lies. So Karen's like, there is no arrangement. I have answered the question. I don't care if you like the answer or not. Ray's a very confident man. He trusts his wife. He's a proud, proud man. He's a proud dog. His name is Milu sometimes. He's a great man, and that's it. No further questions about Ray and our arrangement. No further questions.
If you have any questions, you can direct them to his bank account. Mine is separate.
I have a BOA. The only arrangement that we have is that every month I make an automatic deposit from my checking account to my savings account.
And then Giselle, who never shares anything about jack shit, unless it's like some shit she's making up, is like, well, if you're going to have a man on the side, maybe don't take him to public restaurants that we all go to. Get a hotel. Isn't that what Michael does?
Well, and she's also like, well, you know, if Ray doesn't like the rumors, then why are you always bringing Blue Eyes around? And she's like, well, Ray's a very confident man. You know, he's not insecure. He's not like that TV show with It's a Ray. Although he does like that show because it's called, the star is named It's a Ray. And he's like, it's me. And he, and they say, good, you're secure. I don't know what I'm talking about.
I mean, it's this show. It's like they're mad at Monique for never bringing a driver anywhere. And they're mad at Karen for bringing a driver everywhere. Like, make up your mind, cast.
Driver drums. So finally, Charisse is like, all right, Sansa's here. So, Karen, last night, you mentioned that Ray asked you for a divorce. What do you say about that?
Here's what I say. You're an asshole, Charisse. You're a horrible human being, and I'm so glad to watch you do all this shit and act in your hurtful, cut fitnessy ways and not even get whatever it is they hold at the beginning of the show.
Champagne glass, I think.
Paperweight, or whatever the hell you people are getting to hold.
Boomerangs from Oz.
Cookie jars.
Tennis shoes from Juan.
But it was so funny because Giselle was staring at her teeth in her backwards phone. And she's like,
and Karen just goes, yes. Well, tell the chef, yes.
And I have a feeling next week she's going to be like, he was trying to protect me with this whole tax thing that I knew nothing about.
Yes, you're right. He's like, I want you to, he loved me so much, he wanted to set me free. And I said, no, you can't.
He was like, go free, little peacock bird. And that brings us to the end of Potomix.
All right. Well, that was fun. So, guys, be sure to buy your tickets for Phoenix. Be sure to buy your tickets for San Francisco because we want to see all your smiling faces in those seats, okay? We'll have summer squash risotto for each and every one of you. And then do not forget that this Friday our new batch of shows go on sale. That's New York times two. We got Denver. We got Nashville. We got Seattle. And don't forget, we have second shows in Philly and Atlanta too that we did. We opened up tickets for that like 2 weeks ago. So like, there's just like so much to do, and you just go to watchcrappins.com and you go there, and also in Ronnie's limited edition merch of the Ben Ron shirt. I mean, what a time to be alive.
Yeah, guys, just come on. Let's all do this and watch together, our show. Okay? Tha-tha.
Tha-tha, and watch our show on the TV Party app.
Yes. We will talk to you next time.
Bye, everyone. Bye.